young women, sisters in Jesus Christ, young men, our bodies and our sex organs are not given by God for the tantalizing of the flesh. They are not given for the base and for the pornographic and for the lewd. Your body, girl, young sister, your body is not for parties to give away sex and to have sex. But your body is a gift of the Creator, so that in you, according to God's will with the husband, He works His marvels. Let us not abuse the marvel and the works of God. Abortion, it doesn't matter what the world says. Apart from grace, they're not going to see it. Nevertheless, I'll say it, abortion is directly tied to the sexual immorality of our day. The world can deny that all they want. It's tied to sex outside of marriage. It is tied to pornography. It is tied to all that is debasing of life. Pornography is debasing of life. There is but a half step between pornography and abortion. And then there is something that Job does not directly mention, he alludes to. But in this marvel of God in the womb is not only the physical life, but a human soul. Did not He that made me? In conception and in the womb is a human soul. And that human soul must exist. It will exist. For good or for ill. It is not. That life that conceived life in the womb is not something that may be put away with the after-morning pill. It may not be put away in any form of abortion. As the Creator within the womb, God is the judge, and God is the avenger of all injustice against that human life. And this is Job's point, going back to our text. Job's point is that because God is the Creator of life, He is the one before whom I must stand in my interpersonal relationship with other human beings. Job here is trembling. He's thinking about the possibility that he had been unjust, that he had been unfair to one of his servants, that one of his servants has a legitimate complaint with him. He knows how quickly that can happen between employer and employee, that he oversteps his bounds and gives a just complaint. Job knows that he can't simply brush that off and say, I'm the Lord and Master here. He can't do that because God is the Creator. And God as the Creator is therefore the judge of all human relationships. God sits on His throne judging all human relationships. He says in verse 14, shall not God rise up as the Creator of human life? Shall He not? The word refers to a judge who arises up to His judgment seat. Shall He not, says Job, visit? That word refers to a diligent looking into the matter, as a judge of earth will diligently look into all the facts before he renders his judgment. Job says, if I am guilty, even in my heart, of sin against another human being, what will I do when God rises up to judge me? What will I answer? He stands trembling before the Creator, because as Creator, all are answerable to Him. All are answerable to Him for what is done with the life that He makes in the womb. He creates this life. It is not the jurisdiction of a Supreme Court. It is not the jurisdiction of a Senate or of a President or of the people. It is God, and God alone, who is the avenger and the judge of all human relationships. Man is not autonomous. Man is not self-governing. He's answerable. I'd like to apply that word of God, the avenger, to three situations. I'd like to apply that, first of all, to women who have had an abortion, to boyfriends and to husbands who have forced or agreed to this. And I'd like to apply that, this is the first application, included with these women, are each and every one of us, as we are murderers before God. I speak now to those who, by the grace of God, are convicted by the Holy Spirit of sin in their heart, so that they are wounded and they are crushed. I say to you as a woman, do not listen to the false Christian counselors, even in abortion clinics, who will say to you, but this was not sin. This was a choice. There was no sin involved. Do not listen to them. They are false prophets. They say peace, peace, when there is no peace. They cannot lead you to a place where you're going to find healing. That's the cross of Jesus Christ. But I say to you, in the behalf of the Master, hear the gospel. Hear the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. To everyone who pines away in sorrow, to everyone who imagines that they cannot possibly be forgiven, I proclaim the cross of the grace of Jesus Christ, which cleanses sinners from all their stains, and who cleanses by imputing my transgressions upon the head of His own Son, who died for murderers. I say that to all of us. For when the Holy Spirit works in your heart, in the terms of legal prudence today, we are all guilty before God of depraved indifference to human love. When we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, we can never before that cross say, how could they? We can never point the finger. But we can only say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. How far has depraved indifference to human life come into your life? What do you watch on television? What is your opinion of so-and-so? What is jealousy? What is envy? How do you drive your car? Are you reckless? Do you think you're God? If God were to arise in His judgments, what would you answer Him? Hide yourself in Him. By faith, believe in Christ. In the shadow of a great rock in the midst of a weary land. Next, I would like to apply this truth that God is the avenger to our nation. And then, to bring that closer, apply that to Grand Rapids and to our community. And to an abortion clinic or clinics in our community where tens of thousands have been killed. To our community, which perhaps when Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans was saying, "Yes, yes, filthy city." Do we suppose that they were greater sinners than our community? What will happen when God stands up to visit this? In the Old Testament, God would speak often, and we sang of it this evening, of the guilt of innocent blood, and of the fact that by that innocent blood, the land would be polluted. You remember, children, that when God came to Cain after he killed Abel, and he killed Abel in such a way that his blood was poured out and fell and soaked into the ground, that God said, "The blood of your brother is crying to me from the ground." Now I understand that Abel represented the church, the cause of God. I know that. But let us not forget that Abel's blood was also innocent blood. It was taken evilly, and it cried to God for vengeance. God says, "That innocent blood became to me a voice. That blood took on a mouth, and it cried for me to bring and to requite that blood." Psalm 9, verse 12, "When God maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble." Our land is covered in blood of the innocent. Our age, which is seeking to rub our conscience raw with the memory of Hiroshima, has far exceeded the casualties of World War II with 44 million abortions in this country. Our land, which would be our society, which would be aghast tomorrow morning if you read in the paper that tonight a madman with a pistol went berserk at Spectrum Hospital. You read that he went into the neonatal where the preemies are kept and where they are supported by oxygen tubes. That this man went with his revolver and riddled those 2-3 pound preemies and shot them to death. There would be a cry of horror. And at the same time, within sight, there is the killing of unborn children in the womb who are connected and who are breathing through God's oxygen tube, the umbilical cord, and are killed by a doctor and with a suction tube. This is the land that will sing, "God bless America." And this is the land which will picture waving fields of grain. It is not. It is a land covered with blood. And it is the beast. For out of her, out of such a culture, out of such a mentality, rises the Antichrist. The Antichrist who exalts himself over everything that is called God according to Scripture. The Antichrist who, according to Scripture, makes himself to be God and determines for himself. It is the feast. And this is God's word. This is God's word to our nation. What will you do when God arises? What will you answer Him? God says to our nation, don't be afraid of Osama bin Laden. Don't fear what might be in some missile silo in the country of Iran. But God says, Psalm 2, be wise now, therefore, ye judges of the earth. Be instructed, O ye kings. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. And then I wish to apply God the Avenger to us as the congregation. Ye are my witnesses, says God, Isaiah 43, that I am God. We do not advocate on this issue of abortion social rebellion. We proclaim God's word, which said that he that takes up the sword will perish with the sword. We teach the New Testament scriptures, Romans 13, that ye must needs be subject to the governmental authority for conscience sake, and that you must pay tribute, taxes, to whom tribute is due. We believe that. But that does not mean that we will not preach the truth. And that does not mean that we will be silent on these issues. That does not mean that we are relieved of our responsibility to witness of Him and of His truth. That does not mean that we do not pray that God delivers young women from this evil. That does not mean that we will not, we will lovingly, bluntly, and prayerfully speak with our young people about purity and chastity. We are to speak to our country. Perhaps someone says, but I'm not going to be writing my congressman all the time. Okay. Have you written once? Have you written one letter? Perhaps we say, but we know that the end is coming in this world of sin, and therefore we're just going to turn our back on it. God says, that's right, the end is coming. And I have put you in this nation to speak my word which will be effective also to leave without excuse and to save my people. Are we like Jonah? We won't go to this Nineveh. We won't tell this Nineveh God's word because we don't want this Nineveh to hear God's word. And instead, we get on the ship and go to Tarshish. But we think that we have no calling. As we have opportunity, let us, as God gives us the ability, speak. Let us speak to the Supreme Court. Let us speak to the President. Let us speak to senators. Let us speak to local officials. And let us not play the hypocrite. I mean, let us not give ourselves over to the entertainment of this age on the television, which is the seeds of sexual immorality and killing and butchering and blowing people away and dead bodies and death and disregard for human life. Let us not entertain our eyes with that in our own living rooms and then decry abortion. And let us hear God's word. Come out from her, my people, and be not partaker with her of her sins, that ye receive not her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. He is creator, he is avenger, and he is sovereign. God made me. He made you white, and he made another black, and another baby brown. He caused us to be born where we are, and he caused another to be born in poverty. He made your body with what we call defects, and he calls, my servant, which shall accomplish my purpose. He made me 5, 3, 2, and he made another 6, 7, or 8. God did that. God gave me to love him. God justified me in his Son, Jesus Christ. God gave his Son over to my death. God gave his Holy Spirit to dwell in my heart. All that I am, I owe to thee. That humbles us. And he made us for his glory. He sees all of our ways. He counts all of our steps. He calls us to be faithful to him. And now tonight, standing before the cross, where God redeemed me, he created me and then redeemed you and me. Standing before that cross, we have this comfort. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thy own hands. Almighty God and Father, we pray for thy word and thy word alone to be our light. Send forth thy word and humble us before it. In Jesus' name, amen.